I wanted to share with you rest in Christ's presence. This is a privilege we have, and it's not just a saying. It's a thing you can really do. It's a thing that you can do even tonight as you enter into prayer, for you're talking to Him. And this isn't you talking to us as if you were talking to Him. This is you talking to Him. And get that sense in your heart that as you pray, you are actually speaking to God Almighty. So when the world around you seems to spin faster and faster, find an oasis of calm at the center of your life where you live in union with God. Let that be your happy place, as they call it. That place you can go where He is a shelter in the time of storm, as Levi would tell us. 1 John 4:12, no man hath seen God at any time. He is invisible, incapable of being seen. If a vision of God has appeared, it's Christ. He's the one who deals with us in the material world. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. This isn't our perfect love. This is His love perfected in us. So rest in this place of relaxation as often as you can. Take full advantage of the fruit of the Spirit. Once you received Christ, He put the Holy Spirit within you, poured Him into you, and He promises in Galatians 5:22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is, notice the first three, love, joy, peace, and then long-suffering, putting up with things for a long time. You responding in gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness, temperance, against which there is no law. So you have a place of rest from the trials that you bear. You have a place of safety within Him. But it's more than that. The world is a needy place. And as you serve the needy of the world, it will drain you. You think about being a pastor where people who have trials and troubles want to come and talk to the pastor. Now, if that draws me down and I just let it go, then I'm down. I'm empty. I'm suffering. And so they say, thanks, is that enough? Well, don't depend on the thanks of the world to sustain you. That's nice, and I appreciate everyone who says thank you. Thank you, I appreciate that. But come to your long-suffering Savior. Come to the one who knows what it is to suffer, who knows what it is to hear and to see the suffering in the sin-cursed world. Here's the scripture talking about Him. Hebrews 2:18. For in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, word meaning tried or tempted, He is able to succor, to give aid to them that are tempted. You say, oh, I'm suffering like He never... No, He suffered. And so now He knows what you need in your suffering, in your testing. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched in the heart with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You say, well, He wasn't tempted by internet pornography, but He was tempted by harlots. You know, the same sins, just in different clothing of modern age. These were the things around Him at that time. And so in all points, there's no suffering that you will go through that in some way Christ did not suffer. So you come to Him. You take the time to embrace Him in prayer. I have... always had a pretty good imagination. most of the games I played as I was growing up, being the eldest of three boys, was to make up stories, and then we play acted them in the living room or wherever. And so as I go to prayer, I can visualize coming to him. I see him sitting on his throne. I see him as a man. I see him as bigger than me. I see him to be a size where I'm a child. And like I'm walking up, my head is just above his knees as I come to him. And I just give myself to him. Weep upon his knees as you bow before him. Lean on his chest as the beloved disciple John did. Cast all your cares off your own shoulders and onto his unfailing heart. You remove the burden, cast it upon him. Do not allow your pride, and especially before God, to keep you from humbling yourself before him and your fellow believers. We accept unspoken prayer requests. Mostly it is because we're praying for someone that we don't want to point them out to anyone but God. But sometimes I think an unspoken request is our way of saying, I don't want to tell you what's bothering me. Just call it unspoken. And, you know, that's up to you. But is it pride? Is it you don't want people to know that the person you're really praying for is you? Let's be careful of that. 1 Peter 5:5-7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. He's using kind of a play on words. The elder is the pastor. The younger then would be everybody else. And yea, all of you be subject one to another, submitting to one another, you see, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You bring pride to your time of prayer, and God says, I'm not really interested. But you come just humble you, just needy you. And he says, let me help. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And here's the key, casting all your care, not just the ones that don't imply you, all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So depend most strongly in your trials on God's almighty love and power. We have medical problems. We can depend on the doctors that we have and the medical knowledge that we can gain. We can depend on friends to help us and to help move us or give us something that we need. We can depend on that. But most strongly, up and beyond and behind it all, rely on God's almighty love and power. Recognize that it's okay to be weak before him, because your weakness enhances his power. In answer to Paul's prayer to remove this problem that he had, 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus answered Paul's prayer, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's enough for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness, in your weakness. Let God be the strong one here. Paul's response, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I'm okay with that. I'm even boasting in myself, glorying in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Yes, he says, I acknowledge my weaknesses. So, who are you trusting? We were talking Sunday. If you expect fulfillment from those you serve, you put unrealistic demands on them and might drain them of motivation. If you're just the needy one all the time, I give up, see. If you find your completeness in Him, you can help others without using them to meet your own needs. Let me help you because I need to help you. I need to feel like I'm something important by helping you. Well, people don't like that. People don't want to be used. The darkness of the world. Sin is the opposite of God's light. The darkness of the world may easily enter your soul and bring you into depression. It's a pretty dark world. So refuse the world's remedies for depression. And I put remedies in quotes because a lot of these things cause more problems than they do, and especially the psychiatrist idea of a remedy. Turn to your Savior for His light and find true deliverance from the darkness that you feel. Two passages and I'm done. 1 John 1:5-7. Then this is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So walking in His light. And finally, 1 John 2:8-10. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in Him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, still in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Loving here is the idea of willing to sacrifice yourself to meet those needs. You're abiding in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling or scandal in Him. And so meeting somebody's needs will not lead you to a problem if you do it in Christ. So let us be strong in all of that.